Welcome to episode 187 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. Over the next couple of shows, I'll be taking a look back at this year's Goodwood Revival, an event which, once again, I covered for editorial clients. In this first outing, then, I'm talking about kit selection, highlighting the items I chose to pack, those I chose not to, and why. So, welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 187. It's about 4:30 on the day before the Goodwood Revival. Now, for those of you that don't know, those of you that have followed me for some time will know that every year I shoot at an event called the Goodwood Revival. For those of you that don't know, this is a motoring event held at Goodwood Motor Circuit in West Sussex in the UK. And it's a vintage theme period event where you've got classic racing cars, everyone's dressed up in period costumes, sort of 40s, 50s, that sort of thing. And it's a fantastic event. It's one of my favourites. I've shot there for many years. And this year, it's slightly different for me, and I'll explain why in just a moment. But, as I say, what I thought I'd do is just talk through my kit as I take it out of my case, put it into another bag, ready to set off tomorrow, ready for the event. So, a bit of a kind of a background to this year's event. I have got a very, very heavy workload at the moment, so that the week following the revival is such that I've had to kind of hold back on commissions a little bit, because otherwise, certainly if they're for magazines or websites, I'm not going to be able to make deadline as quickly as they would expect. And of course, if it's too late, there's no point, as far as they're concerned, a lot of these guys, there's no point publishing them, say, on the web, if the event was, say, a month ago. So, slightly different. Normally what I would do is I would go the night before the first day, ready to be there for the very first day, and I would take everything that I needed with me. It would be kept with me on location, so everything is there. But because of a number of factors, and also the fact that, like I said, I've held back on my workload a little bit, I am basically thinking that I might just go this year for one day, the first day, which is the Friday, and work light, carry a light load, and because I'll be back in the evening, I can back stuff up then, when I'm back in my office and all the rest of it. Anyway, so there is your brief background. So what I've got in front of me here is my Pelly 1510 case. A lot of you know that I take this, it's kind of my workhorse case. It has my basic camera kit in that I use for, you know, I use this sort of 95% of the time. The case goes with me, stays in the back of my car, or, you know, it's kept in a place if I'm sort of going on the train or something. It's good to roll. It's a roller case. It's good for that. But what I've actually have decided to do, because I'm travelling, or rather not travelling, as I'm working so light and not expecting to go full-on crazy like I have done in previous years, I have got a little Billingham bag, and I always forget the model of this, and I know you guys like to know. This is the, here we go, it's a Canvas F4.5 bag, and this one actually came from a charity shop, would you believe? And, you know, it's a really well-worn-in, well-weathered canvas bag. It had some marks all over the top, but the leather, the straps, everything was as it needed to be. And actually, the marks have just sort of, you know, just faded away. And it's just a really nice vintage bag now. It's got that sort of classic traveller kind of look. or journalist look. And of course, it fits in perfectly to the revival because everything's, you're dressed in vintage period clothing, and it's good to have the cases, the bags that match rather than having a traditional, say, bright orange or black modern day photography shoulder bag or backpack. So this is a shoulder bag. It's not very big, but that's okay because basically what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be carrying two cameras, one over each shoulder, which is my usual setup, and you've probably heard me talk about this before. So I'm just going to pull out some items. First of all, not going to put them in the bag at this point. Pull out some items which are going to be either on my shoulder or in the bag there. So let's have a look. The first thing that I will be taking hold of here is my Nikon D3. It's just got a standard Optex strap on there. I love the Optex straps because when you don't want all the strap in your way, you can actually just use the quick release buckles that are sort of halfway down just to remove the strap. That's really good. Obviously, if you're out in a crowd, always watch that no one just comes along and quickly releases them and runs off with the camera. So I've got the D3, still a really good workhorse. It's getting on a bit now, but really good. I've got a D800 Nikon with the battery pack on the bottom. Gives me a vertical grip as well. I'm going to be using as my standard lens for a lot of the kind of wide to mid-range, maybe portrait sort of shots, the 24-70 f2.8. So I've got that and also the lens hood that goes with that. Alongside those, I've got my trusty 80-200 f2.8 lens. That's a really good shot for candid, long lens from a distance, sort of grab shots of people interacting, maybe some details of cars in the paddocks, in the garages, that sort of thing. I will also be needing to shoot trackside because once again, I am shooting for an American magazine, which is a specialist in Ford Mustangs, AC Cobras, that sort of thing. Those of you that listen to my coverage from the Festival of Speed, you'll know that I did a piece for them there. And some of the people that I met previously, I'm sort of following up with, so that's really good. So track stuff means that I need to be really sort of close to the action because probably, just for convenience and quickness, I will position myself at least for, say, one race. I will position myself opposite the chicane, much like I did, those of you that heard me speak previously, and I'll link in the show notes, to a track day that I did at Goodwood a few weeks ago. Position myself in the same position. It's really nice looking straight on at the, or sort of looking at the chicane as the cars come round that bend there. I've got here a 2x teleconverter that doubles the focal length of the lens attached, and I use that with the 80-200. So it gives me a 160-400, but because you lose 2 f-stops of light, you're basically working at, rather than, say, for argument's sake, f2.8, you're looking at f5.6. It's really bright and sunny at the moment, so I'm not going to get any problems with fast enough shutter speeds. If anything, it might be too fast, but that's okay, because what I tend to do is slow the shutter speed down just enough so that the cars are nice and crisp, but there's just a bit of movement in the wheels just to suggest the speed and you know, the action as they're coming round the corner then. Now, whilst I think of it, just close the Pelly case for a moment. I have here a case which I generally keep a number of tripods in and some stands and what have you. Because I'm going to be opposite the chicane, I could just hold my my lens, you know, just sort of as cars have come around, grab the shots, and that works very well. Because I might sit there for a little while, don't need to be there a lot, but I just want a bit of extra support. I mentioned right at the start of the show in the introduction that I've had a little bit of a setback recently. I've not been on top form with my health. Had a bit of a bug and what have you. So I'm not feeling that I'm firing on all cylinders. So I can't even think. I can't even speak. So I'm just not feeling full strength at the moment. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to take my monopod. This is a Manfrotto 479-4B. It's a three-section monopod. Really good. You attach the lens to that. The camera is bolted on the back of the lens, of course. And it's just, you know, it gives me a nice setup to kind of take the pressure and the weight off my shoulders, off my arms, whilst I'm sat there waiting for the action to happen. So that is that bit. Back into the camera bag, or into the Pelly case rather. I've got a range of other lenses here, and I'm really not sure that I need to bring anything else. Like I say, I'm going to try and work quite light. If I accidentally dropped a lens, what would I do? I have colleagues who are going to be on site that, if needs be, I might be able to borrow a lens. But what I'll probably do is I'm just going to throw in my 35mm f1.8, which is a lovely, lovely lens. When I use that on an FX format camera here, you do get the vignetting around the edges. But what I can do is select the DX format, which gives you a crop, which kind of, you know, gives a bit more closer pulling power on there. So, you know, there is the track action. It's a bit of a gamble, but touch wood. Where is there some wood to touch around here? Here we go. Superstition and all that. Let's assume that it's going to be fine. One thing I've never actually tried, actually, is to see whether the two times converter. No, see, this two times converter, it's a slightly older one. It's not compatible with that lens. Otherwise, I might, just put that on the back of that 35mm and double it up. What I could do, of course, is leave a pouch with a spare lens in the car. Do I do that? I don't like leaving kit in the car. I might, if I do, I'm still undecided. If I do, I would probably take my 24-85, which is an older lens, which is a good backup. Anyway, let's assume that we're going to get away with it. I'm just going to take that small lens, which is also a lovely portrait lens. It's so sharp. I might just decide to switch over to that. Maybe kind of put the 28-80 in the bag at some point during the day. And just shoot on the prime and the small zoom, you know? So that's that. I'm going to take one flash gun. One of my, those of you that follow me on Instagram will know that I posted a picture where I showed, one of my flash guns, which I managed to crack the LCD on the back. That's due for repair. I generally don't use flash a lot now for these sort of, events. The cameras are so good with the high, ISO that, it's, you know, I just like working with the natural light, and it's, you know, just really nice quality, especially with these lenses and my setup. So I'm going to take one flash. That's probably going to just stay in the it's going to stay in the bag rather than weighing down my shoulder on the camera. Got the pockets here. I shall their batteries already in the cameras, but I shall take one spare for the D800, one spare for the D3. Don't need, what have I got here? Remote releases, don't need any of that. I've got a box here of business cards, so that's going to go. I'm not too worried about if it's going to rain. I don't think it's due to, but if it does, I have the flexibility, and I've built in the flexibility so that I can just go and sit and have a cup of tea. You know, wait for the storm clouds to pass and what have you. So I've got a few business cards. The reason I mention waterproof sort of rain and all the rest of it, I do have a little sort of just clear bag which I bring out with some rubber bands to make an impromptu waterproof cover for the camera and lens. I do have proper waterproof covers. As you can imagine, I spend a lot of time outdoors. It's worth having. I've got a range of those, some that were sent to me from Nikon. I will actually be featuring those as we come into sort of more into the mid to late autumn and winter. Just to kind of give you a bit of an insight. Those have kind of stayed unused so far this summer. I've got others as well. Maybe I'll do a feature on... specifically, I have written about waterproofing yourself and your kit, but, you know, maybe sort of bring those specific items out. So no worry about the cover. The bottom here, I've got, let's have a look, got some cables, they're camera cables. What have we got here? I have got some headache pills. Like I say, feeling it a little bit, not on form exactly at the moment. So I'm going to take a number of those. I've got enough there that every 4 hours, if I needed to, I could take something. It's not going to be dark by the time I finish. I don't have to worry about a light. I will take some electrical tape because that's really handy. Whether I take the whole lot or not remains to be seen. I've just got a standard sort of standard roll. It might be that I just wrap that around sort of a pen or something just to take enough things like if the I don't know, if the rubber grip on the bottom or side of my camera comes unstuck. It sometimes happens. Without having any glue with me, I can just sort of tape it on and it's absolutely fine. So I'll take that. I've got a cloth here, which is like a microfiber cloth. I'll take that. These items, you know, none of them are particularly heavy. This is only a small bag. To give you an idea, it's... what am I looking at? So 12. I reckon it's probably about maybe 16 inches across by 8 inches deep. And then from the base up to the top is probably about 10 inches, something like that. So it really is quite small. So I'm just really trying to keep everything light. And I'm pretty much there now. I've got a case here with some memory cards. Just some spares in there. The only other thing is when I did the track stuff the other day, I shot some sort of point of view first person video, which I've yet to share. And I kind of want to be doing more of that sort of thing. So what I thought I might do, I'll see what space is left in my bag, because it all, you know, it does all add up, space and weight and what have you. I have got a little thing in terms of GoPro, that sort of thing. I've got a little sort of action camera and an adapter, which basically sits on the hot shoe on top of the camera, and that I mount the camera to that, and it looks down the length of the lens and gives you that first person shooting perspective. So just have a quick scout around. I don't really need a multi-tool. No, that's pretty much it. The only other thing is probably one pack of batteries. And when I say pack, that's 8 batteries for the flash gun. There is a flash on top of the D800. Can't remember. I think certainly with the hood on the 24-70, the flash does catch the hood and it casts a shadow on the subject. So again, what I could do is use the 35mm. If I wanted to do some, say, portrait shots, you know, quite subtle little flash. You can tailor it so it's not full output and you can balance it with the existing light. So just enough batteries that the flash gun, which is an SB800, still one of the old SB800s. I've got to invest in some new flash guns, actually, but that's not been a priority just recently. That takes 5 batteries, so I've got 3 spare in that case once I've taken those 5 out. And that is really it. So let's have a quick look at what else. I'm going to take... Apologies there, I just managed to drop the the audio recorder on the floor and it took the microphone with it. So, where was I? Oh yes, we are now going to just have a look at how this all fits together. So, what I was going to say was I'm going to put my Pelly case on the floor. I'm going to take the Billingham bag And to go with that, I've got a number of little pouches. So I will separate my kit. I'm going to put the D800 and the D3, the 2470, the 80-200 to one side. The Billingham bag has, it should have 1, 2, 3, 4 padded sort of compartments. But where this is so old, I understand that with the Billingham bags, the as they get older, certainly some of the older bags, the kind of the foam inserts or whatever they were, kind of sort of disintegrate. So that's what's happened. It's basically left me with some sort of material flaps or panels. Now, you can get replacements for all of this. I generally don't use this bag unless it's maybe around the time of the revival, or maybe if I'm taking a classic film camera out and I want to kind of, you know, keep the I don't know, the look or what have you of using those older cameras. So I'm kind of making do. So I've got a range of different pouches that are from other modern day bags and what have you. So the first one here, the D800s, when they're new, they come with a pouch. So I'm going to chuck that into there and sit that right at one end. Now I've got to just play around with some of the pockets are bigger than others. One of the panels is a bit deeper than others. So the flash being the largest item, that's going to go at one end. I've got a little pouch down the opposite end, and for that I thought what I might do is put in my I'm going to put in my 2x converter. And say, you know, this is one of those things that I'm just kind of thinking on the fly, thinking about how I'm going to put different things in, what's going where. The only other things aside from what I've already mentioned are a little pouch which has got my audio recorder in it, and that, like I say, has also got the little action camera that'll go in. That might be that it goes in the front. We're yet to see. The great thing with these Billingham bags is they're really, when they're sort of this old, it's all holding together. There's no stitching come undone or anything, but they're just really quite malleable. They're, you know, you can really you know, sort of stretch them if you need to, in a way. They hold their form. So the next thing to do, I've got a little pouch here, and into that I'm going to put the batteries in with a flash, maybe. I don't know, I've never tried that. Oh yeah, that works. Okay, so those are in there. So that's all nice. Everything I need for my flash is all together. That's good. I'm going to have got these batteries and things. Now, do I have them loose or not? Probably not. So what I've got is a little dry bag. You know that I love dry bags. They are so useful. They're basically roll-top fastening waterproof bags. I use them a lot in the outdoors. I will link to an article that I wrote on The Active Photographer called Gotta Love a Dry Bag, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. But I've got a very small one. This is an XPED bag, and this is the XXS, or extra, extra small one. Trying to keep small pouches and keeping it all quite light. So into that, I'm going to put little items so that they don't sort of wander around. So I'm going to put the two batteries. I'm going to put that's the electrical tape in there. Maybe put the little, do I put the cloth in there? It can be fairly dusty at Goodwood, so what I might do is just have that to hand. I don't know, I might keep that separate, just on top of the lens there. Yeah, that I'm going to sit just on top of the 2x converter. So I've got the batteries, some electrical tape, the adapter for the point-of-view camera, and I'm going to put in my headache pills. I'm also things like wallet, keys, cash, all that sort of smaller items. They tend to go rather than being just loose. Those go into one of these as well, but of course I'll add that later. That's pretty much that. Roll the top over so you can condense it right nice and small. So that's that. I'm going to put in the audio recorder bag. I'm going to put in the dry bag.
Wow, that's working well. I've got the memory cards here. I'm going to put that down the side of the flash gun, sort of on the inner edge, if that makes sense. So it's not in the case with the flash, but it's within the pouch, the divider, that sort of thing. So the only thing really is here I've got the business cards, and I've got, oh crikey, there must be, so I just put some new ones in, there must be about 40 of the things. I'm not going to get through 40 business cards, so I will probably decant a few of those and just either leave them just sort of on the top on the inside there, or possibly in the outer pocket. And that is really it. The other consideration that I have here is that I've got to... This is where I'm in two minds about the monopod. I know that I could get away with it, but just because I'm feeling like I might just want to support, take the weight off my shoulders and my arms a little bit, it's probably a pretty good idea to take it with me. So I've got to think about how am I going to carry that. Now, I could leave it attached to the lens and the camera that I'm going to be using it with, but when it's not in use, it's just sort of hanging around and all the rest of it. So I've got to make sure that the contents of this little bag are fairly flat and allow the strap fastenings to go over to secure the bag. So what I'm going to do is just try this, seeing where this is going to sit inside the bag, because basically it's probably if it's another, if I measure it alongside the bag, it's probably another six or 10 inches longer than the bag across. So I'm just trying to see where I can sit it in there. So there's a bit of a ledge where the front pocket is. The material folds down a bit. It might sit there. Let's try folding. There we go. So it's simple fastening. When I fold that over, there we go, that is fairly tight. Now I'm just going to try this over my shoulder. Oh yeah, wow. I wish I could travel this light all the time. That's looking really nice. Now, of course, you know, if I'm trying to get through crowds or there's certain things that I need to be at and I'm sort of running a bit behind and need to get there quick, I might get a bit of a run on. And that thing's kind of moving around a bit. So what I'm going to do is I have got here a carabiner clip. Now, again, I love carabiners. They are so useful. They're very simple little clips. They allow you to attach equipment to rucksacks and bags and all this sort of thing, make sure that things don't go astray and all the rest of it. Again, I've just in this past week or so written and published a piece called Gotta Love a Carabiner. They come in all sorts of different sizes, weights, materials, all the rest of it. But I've got just a very simple carabiner, which I'm going to put through the loop of the handle that's on the monopod. And I can see that the monopod is trying to slip down a little bit. But that's okay. That's okay. I might sort of reposition it a little bit. But the point is, I've got the carabiner around the handle there. And what I'm going to do is just take that over the main strap. And that is holding it in place. So even if I was to undo the bag, yes, it would swing down and probably whack me in the legs, but it's there then. It's not going to go anywhere. So, again, it's sort of biased towards, it's attached at the front. And if you imagine the bag is over my shoulder, as I'm walking along, it's attached sort of to my right, over my shoulder, just in front. So it's sticking out a bit further behind me, but not too much. So that's going to fasten really well. And that is basically it. I'm really pleased with that. You know, the temptation is always to think, okay, what can I add? Because I've got some extra space now and what have you. Of course, normally I would have a bag and I'd think, okay, so I'll keep my cameras in there until I need them and all the rest of it. But realistically, what I'm going to be doing in the morning, I'm having to get up at stupid o'clock, and we are talking stupid o'clock just to be able to get there, and it's not a vast distance away, but the queues are always horrendous. I need to get parking. There's also going to be a bit of a walk from the car park to the main entrance, and I have to walk then over to the press centre, sign in, all the usual things. So I don't want to lug around a bag which is half empty, because I've taken out cameras and lenses and things. So what I'm going to do is just set up the cameras, and I'll probably leave them in just a standard photography rucksack, which is completely empty apart from those two setups. And then what I'll do is, it's only an empty bag, I'll leave that in the back of my car, out of view. And then at the end of the day, I can put stuff in there so that just in case I should trip on a curb or something when I come back after the event, the cameras are safe. But this setup is fantastic. I'm loving it. The only thing I did wonder about is whether to take a little adapter that I've got here. It's a flash bracket, which I kind of made myself out of a number of components. It's a, if you want to know, it's a Nikon SK7 bracket, which has got two attachment points, sort of threaded sort of bolts, as it were, on there. One of those attaches to the base of the camera. The other one I have made a quick, or attached, cobbled together a quick release platform. A quick release platform. And onto that, I have got the Nikon SC29 TTL cable, which allows the flash to communicate with the camera for TTL metered flash pictures. I haven't used that a lot for some time, actually. So will it just end up sitting in my bag? Is it extra weight? It's not vast weight, but is it worth lugging it around just in case? When I did feature portraits of people last year's revival, I took the camera right took the flash right off camera on stand with pocket wizards and what have you. All the restrictions of the areas I was working in was so small that I bounced the light from the camera position, from the hot shoe up onto the ceiling and what have you, and that worked. So I do have the luxury that I've got some space here. The bag isn't too heavy. I could put that in there. The other thing, of course, is just that 35mm lens. Throw that in a little pouch, and that can just sit on the top there inside. But that's basically it. I'm pretty much good to go. The only other thing is I've got just a little bit of paperwork here. I've got my parking permit. I've got an e-ticket, as it were, which basically I have to get the barcode scanned at the door and at the gates, and then just make my way to go and get my passes and stuff. That's kind of it. That's pretty much everything. This is really good. This is really lightweight. What more can I tell you? I don't think I can. I think that's pretty much it. So I hope that's been a nice little insight for you. You know, there is this temptation to take loads of kit, take everything just in case. But when you know that you've got other people around that you might be able to borrow something, or, you know, if I, God forbid, I broke a lens, I can come back. I'm aiming to try and do everything I need to in one day, because I really, where I've not been very well this past week or two, I've sort of lost a few days and I had so much to do. It's all planned out perfectly over 2.5 weeks, and it all got a bit jumbled up. I really need to claw back some time. So I'm aiming just to be shooting for one day, and I should get everything done that I need to. But if I should need to go another day, I have another, obviously, 2 days of the event where I can go with a different lens, shoot stuff and what have you. Fingers crossed. It's a little bit of a different arrangement this year. I've got a lot of other commitments in the week coming up, stuff I've got to be editing, I've got to be writing, and all the rest of it. So, yes, it's I should probably stop and breathe. But, you know, I've taken time out to get my kit ready now, because I've now got to go back into my office to carry on writing and getting stuff together for stuff that's coming up in the coming week. So it's a bit of a juggling act. But yeah, like I say, I hope that has given you a nice little insight. As ever, if you have any questions, do let me know. But for now, I will leave it there.
Be sure to listen to next week's show, in which I'll be giving an overview of my time at the Revival itself. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.